want you to take your copy of God's Word and stand, your iPad, your iPhone, whatever you have. You don't have any of that. The scriptures are on the screen. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. The great apostle Paul said these words. He said, I find then a law. When I would do good, evil is present with me. How many of you can relate to that? When I would do good, evil is present with me. Sure, I can relate to that. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Paul, I mean the greatest Christian ever to live other than Jesus, said these words. He said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He got to his wit's end. And then he said these words, I thank God. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, get that, folks. I'm not going to preach this, but Jesus Christ, our Lord. When I got saved as a 16-year-old boy, I got saved because I did not want to go to hell. No other reason. I'm just being honest with you. No other reason. I got saved because I did not want to go to hell. I was not concerned about holiness and lordship. I got saved because I did not want to go to hell. I really just wanted fire insurance. Amen? That's all I wanted. I just did not want to go to hell. But you know what I've learned? God is not just interested in getting me out of hell. God's interested in getting the hell out of me. Are you okay? Yeah, yeah. He's interested in getting the hell out of me because there was a lot of hell in me. And that only comes through lordship, ladies and gentlemen. See, notice that scripture. Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Folks, I want to talk to you about freedom from addiction. Freedom from addiction. And the fact that we're all addicted to something. Now what is the definition of an addiction? It's something that controls people. Something they feel they cannot do without. Or something they do to alleviate pain or pressure. Now I'm convinced addiction may be something that we battle. But I also know that God wants us to have victory. God wants us to have victory. Because 1 Corinthians 6 and 12, the great apostle Paul said, I don't want anything. I don't want to be under the power of anything. I don't think anything should control me. Paul said, I can have victory through the Lord. As I began to study on this subject of addiction, you know, you talk about it, and some of you have already checked out. You say, well, I don't battle drugs, and I don't battle alcohol. I picked a bad Sunday, but you really didn't pick a bad Sunday. I think you picked the best Sunday, because I'm convinced that we're all, the one that's preaching, we're all addicted to something. And I started studying the top addictions in America. The one that jumped out, the number one addiction in America, is caffeine. Caffeine. Do you realize that 30% of coffee drinkers, 30% of coffee drinkers drink 7 cups of coffee a day? 7 cups. But now, by the way, folks, it may not be Maxwell House with you. But it may be Diet Coke. It may be Diet Mountain Dew. God help us. I mean, I don't know what it is. But I do know unequivocally that caffeine is an addiction. But I'll tell you another addiction. Ladies and gentlemen, it's food. People are addicted to food. I researched it, and I won't get all into all of my research, but they said the time that women are most addicted is from the ages 45 to 64. It's when women battle it most. 45 to 64, this addiction to food. It's a real battle, and it's a battle with men also. There's the addiction. The third addiction is gambling. Gambling, and it's so accessible and so easy to do, but we become addicted. We become addicted to gambling. The fourth addiction was compulsive shopping. Compulsive shopping. 17 million Americans can't control their urge to shop. And 90% of those are women. That's not an exaggeration. One lady was having a severe problem, and her husband said, "Honey, what you've got to do every time you're out shopping and the devil tempts you, you just got to say, 'Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan.'" She came home the next day, and she had a new dress on. She said, "I bought it." He said, "Well, honey, I told you to tell the devil, 'Get behind me, Satan.'" She said, "I did." He said, "The dress looked good from behind also." The fifth addiction is pornography. Pornography. The largest users are ages 12 to 17, by the way. 50% of the men in the church struggle with pornography. 50% of the men in the church struggle with pornography. The sixth addiction is alcoholism. Alcoholism. Teacher was trying to teach that you shouldn't do it, and she took a worm and she put it in a glass jar, and the worm swam around. And then she took the worm and she put it in alcohol, and it just withered up and died. And the teacher said, "Johnny, what does that teach you?" He said, "It teaches me if I get worms to drink a lot of alcohol." The seventh addiction is drugs. Now, and by the way, I'm going to get back to alcohol. Somebody said, "Pastor Benny, how do you feel about alcohol?" Let me just say it like this. An ounce of alcohol kills 10,000 brain cells. That tells me the people I pastor don't need to be drinking. That's all I'm going to say. The seventh addiction is drugs. Drugs. Do you realize on this day, folks, on this day, today, over 100 people will overdose from drugs today? The eighth addiction is nicotine. 400,000 Americans died from smoking-related illnesses last year. The ninth addiction is social media. Social media. And you say, "Pastor, but I'm a businessman and the internet is really helping my business." I am not so sure. 80% of the time that people spend on social media at work has nothing to do with their work. 80% of the time that people spend on social media at work has nothing to do with their work. So, "Pastor Benny, I think I may struggle. Could you give me some signs?" Yeah, right quick, I'll give you some. Here's some signs you may be addicted. Is it the first thing you do in the morning? First thing you do is have to check social media. Here's a second sign you may be addicted. You can't do anything without sharing it. I know you're having rows at O'Charlie's, but everybody don't need to know. Number three, it's my first choice of recreation. Nurse to a young woman in the delivery room, "Congratulations, you have a baby boy. Would you like to hold him?" New mother, "In a minute, I'm updating my Facebook status." First thing you do in the morning, you can't do anything without sharing it. It's your first choice of recreation. Folks, let me tell you something. We've become addicted to that little thing that we hold in our hands. We've become addicted. I was in a restaurant and I said to my wife, I said, "Isn't that precious right over there?" She said, "What's precious?" I said, "The family." She said, "What's precious about them?" I said, "They're all bowing their heads praying." She said, "They're not all bowing their heads praying. They're all four on their phone, Benny." No, they're not praying. They're using their phone. You know what I decided, folks? I decided I pastor a large church. I think we got about 7,000 members. Of course, the FBI couldn't locate a lot of them. Listen. But I said, no. I was having a meal with somebody, and they reached and did something on their phone while I was talking, having the meal with them. And I thought, I'd just like to slap them in Jesus' name. I've taken my time to have a meal, and they're talking this. And then it was like the Lord said to me, you do the same thing. You do the same thing. And I decided, God help us. If we can't have a meal without having the phone, we can't enjoy our families without having the phone. Folks, if we can't, it's become an addiction. It's an addiction. Your children mean more than that text. Put that phone up and have a meal with your family. The 10th thing, we've become addicted to sports and exercise. Sports and exercise. It's our God in America. Our God's sports. A lot of times it's not the children, it's the parents pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. I sat down, and this is not a braggadocious, but God allowed me to be in a situation where I sat down with Daryl Strawberry, Pete Rose, and Chipper Jones. I said, tell me. They said, parents are pushing the children too hard. Parents are pushing the children too hard. Parents are pushing the children too hard. I said, I already know it. That didn't cost you anything. Number 11, the 11th addiction is work. Work. We become addicted to work. And number 12, the approval of others. Now, see, folks, I understand there are external effects of addiction. But I know it's not an external problem. Because 1 Corinthians 7 and 22 says this. It says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. It's not an outward problem, it's an inward problem. See, addiction may be a surface problem, but the root problem is an inner problem. It may have been rejection in the past, it may be self-esteem, it may be hurt, it may be betrayal, but it's an inner problem. Now, right quickly, how do I know I have an addiction? I want to hit these fast. You keep doing it, even though there are negative consequences. Number two, you pass on social events. Number three, you suffer withdrawal if you attempt to stop. Number four, you don't want others to know how often you do it. One company was taking drug tests, and one man decided he'd give a sample, but he would give his wife's. And his boss said to him a few days later, I've got good news and bad news. The man said, what is it? He said, the good news is you're drug-free. He said, the bad news is you're pregnant. Number five, you make excuses for how often you do it. See, folks, in Isaiah 44, there was a man who took wood and he warmed himself with the fire. He took wood, he warmed himself with the fire, and then he took that fire and he put bread and cooked him bread. He cut down a tree, he burned the wood. He got the heat from it. He got the bread from it. But then he did something. He took that wood and he carved out an image. And he worshiped that image. Now here's what an addiction is. An addiction is when we take what's good and we have an improper relationship with it. Just like that man took that wood, which was good for the fire. He took that wood, which was good to cook with. But he took that wood and he carved out an image and he worshiped it. An addiction is when we take what's good and we have an improper relationship with it and it becomes idolatry in our lives. Say, Pastor, how can I get victory over my addiction? Let me give you some steps as quickly as I can. The first step to getting victory over any addiction is I acknowledge my addiction. Paul said in verse 24, O wretched man that I am. O wretched man. He acknowledged that he no longer controlled it, but it controlled him. George W. Bush said, I was approaching 40, and my wife said to me, George W., you've become an alcoholic. And he said, Laura, I am not an alcoholic. And he said, then she said to me, well, George, tell me the last day you can remember not having a drink. And George said, I could not remember the last day I didn't have a drink. First step to overcoming an addiction is I have to own it. I have to say, no, I've got a problem. The second step to overcoming an addiction, I admit I'm powerless on my own. I'm powerless on my own. Jeremiah 17:9 says our hearts are desperately wicked. And I don't have the power to overcome this on my own. I acknowledge my addiction. I admit I'm powerless on my own. Step number 3, I ask God for His power to overcome. I ask God for His power to overcome. Because I want you to know something. You can overcome through the power of God. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:37 says, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Daniel 11:32 says, the people that do know him shall be strong and do exploits. Revelation 12:21 says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I want to report to you, through the power of God, you can overcome anything. The fourth step to overcoming, ladies and gentlemen, is I accept I need the Holy Spirit to have victory. I accept I need the Holy Spirit. I don't give a rip if you think you're big, bad Leroy Brown. Let me tell you something. You're going to keep falling. You're going to keep falling as long as you're trying to do something in your own strength. Because the secret's not in trying. The secret is in trusting. The secret is saying, empty me of myself and fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the only strength I have is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:13 says this. If you live after the flesh, you're going to die. But through the Spirit, you mortify the deeds of the body. Mortify means to deaden them. Somebody said, Brother Benny, do you believe in being Spirit-filled? Oh, yes. So you believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit? Oh, listen, friend, I believe in being filled and being filled and being filled, and being filled, and being filled, and being filled. And we need continual fresh fillings of the Holy Spirit of God. Savannah Abigail, when she was going to Vanderbilt, would call me and say, Daddy, I want you to pray. I want you and Mama to pray. I've got a big test coming up. And by the way, as long as they're giving tests, there'll always be prayer in school. And I said, Savannah, I am. But Savannah, I'm going to ask you to pray and ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Because when you're filled with the Holy Spirit will bring all things to your remembrance. And that stuff that you've studied, it's going to start coming back to you because of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something, folks. Come up real close. Come up and look where you can look in my face. I want you to know something. The Christian life is not difficult without the Holy Spirit. The Christian life is impossible without the Holy Spirit. You can't live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. I accept I need the Holy Spirit. Number 5, I align my mind on the things of God. I align my mind on the things of God. Look what Romans 7:23 says. It says, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. Lord, I need you to renew my mind. I was talking to Barbara years ago. I said, Barbara, when we got married, I had nothing. I was nothing. I said, your parents, the night before we got married, begged you not to marry me. Don't get into that family, Barbara. You can do better than that. But I said, Barbara, you did. You married me. And I said, Barbara, I've often wondered why. Was it my vivacious personality? She said, no. I said, well, you know, my family's got this Indian in me. Was it the dark skin? She said, no. I said, well, Barbara, just me and you privately, I said, was it the upper body? She said, no. I said, what was it, baby? She said, it was your brain. I said, oh. She said, yeah, it's the little things that count. But I can tell you this, folks. As amazing as these brains are, you know, they can retain 15 trillion different thoughts, but they can only think of one thing at a time. Number six, I accept I need the help of others. I accept I need the help of others. Did you know 97% of dieters at Michigan State University, they researched this and said 97% of dieters who bet someone they could stick to a weight loss plan for 6 months did. Now wait, I'm not advocating betting. That's what I'm preaching about. But the secret wasn't in the betting. The secret was in the accountability. James 5 and 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. My buddy Johnny Hunt said, no man is serious about forsaking his sin unless he's willing to confess it to a mature brother. Number seven, I admonish my strength is through prayer and fasting. Matthew 17 and 21 says certain things just happen because of prayer and fasting. Number eight, I mend the relationships my addiction has damaged. He said, Brother Benny, I can't amend all the relationships, but you can begin and you can try to. You say, what's biblical about that? I'll tell you what's biblical about it. There was a man in Luke chapter 19 who defrauded people and was a scoundrel, but he got right with God. His name was Zacchaeus. Most of you are, maybe some of you can remember, he's a little short guy. I always envisioned him looking like, if you ever watched the Dukes of Hazzard, Boss Hogg. But Boss Hogg, Zacchaeus said, after he got right with God, half my goods I give to the poor. And whatever I've taken by false accusation, I want to restore fourfold. Get this. When you make an effort to amend those you've done wrong, you say, Brother Benny, it will help them. Oh, you've missed it. James 5 and 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Something happens in you. And then number nine, I acquire a new addiction. I acquire a new addiction. Look what the Bible says. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that in the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Addicted themselves. Joy Pittman sang a few moments ago, Chainbreaker. Joy had chains. He had an addiction. By the way, and we all do. We all do. The person sitting beside you is an addict. Yeah, we just got to decide what the addiction. The person preaching to you is an addict. Yeah. The person who says they don't have no problems, that's a person you better be real leery of. They're dangerous. See, where do you get that? 1 John 1 and 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. The guy that wants to look so sanctimonious, be careful. Keep one hand on your wallet and the other arm around your wife. I said, Joy, what helped you overcome the addiction? He said, sitting on a stool right over there. playing a guitar, worshiping Jesus. I just changed my addiction. I just got a new addiction, and he became my addiction. He became my addiction. He became my addiction. He became my addiction. Just addicted to him. Folks, he's our only hope. There's no hope. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. The only person who can help you with your problem is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Dad was trying to get a nap, and his little boy kept interrupting him. And finally, the dad found a newspaper and tore it up into about 50 pieces, and it was a map of the world. He said, son, go put the world together. About 10 minutes later, he come back, and he had the newspaper together. He said, son, how'd you do it so quick? He said, well, Dad, I didn't put the world together. I just flipped it over, and there was a picture of a man on the other side. And I just put the man together. And he said, you know, Dad, when I got the man together, the world was together. Friend, let me tell you something. When we get the man together, we get the woman together. The marriage will be together. The parenting will be together. The relationships will be together. The world will be together. We got to start by getting the man together or the woman together. And I want to say today, you can have victory over your addiction. You can have victory over your addiction.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.